With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we say hello to Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello as he jumps on with us now. Coach, how are you?
Good, John. How are you doing?
Doing quite well, and I'm just curious as to how many times you've actually done the double take to look up and see that it is indeed August 15th, considering that I don't know that you've had many chances to pull your head up since the season ended for Tennessee back in June. It really seems like it's just been one thing after another. Has anything slowed down at all just yet, making the transition from 2022 to what will be 2023 before you know it?
A different kind of slowdown today as I returned from California late last night. It was the last recruiting trip of the summer period. We entered a dead period today that'll last until mid-September. So while we love going out recruiting, cannot do that any longer. We'll be kind of restricted to our camps and tournaments that'll be here at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. But also now get to welcome back with open arms the returning players and a host of new players, many of whom were actually here this summer.
That's incredible. And what has it been? First of all, what was it like to be a part of the draft coverage on the MLB Network?
Yeah, it was fun. I'll tell you what, Dan and Harold and Greg, I mean, I got along with those guys really well. They put a ton of work into anything that they're going to do on television. I got to kind of pull back the curtain and see that myself. A lot of rehearsal, just organizational time. Some research being done and some planning. There were some debates on what to add in during kind of free time or flex time during that broadcast. So it was a lot of fun, and it also made me kind of respect even more so how much time and effort and talent those guys put into what they do.
And news last week, Josh Elander, now associate head coach for Tennessee baseball. What does it mean to be able to have that as part of his title for your program?
It means a lot, and there are several things that could be detailed into that, but I think the biggest thing is it's a reward for a guy who has earned it every step of the way since he's been in Knoxville. Just an incredible amount of organization and passion to anything he does, and he's kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. So, again, you kind of stick with the word or theme reward. Maybe a little bit more name recognition for the fan base, and it also – I think is setting the tone for what's to come. One of these days, it'll be unfortunate for us, but fortunate for him. He'll become a big-time head coach. But, again, for now, any duty he takes up, I sleep well at night knowing he's going to do a great job. And probably the biggest thing he does around here is I'm jealous, he's got a way of making the players love playing for him, and they get incredibly close during their time. Even if it's only for 1 year here, they get incredibly close with Coach Elander.
Tony, are you at liberty to say whether you think Tennessee's a football school, a basketball school, or a baseball school?
No, I'm not. I was on the road recruiting when that popped up. Actually, a friend in Lexington is the one who kind of hit me off on that deal. And I was watching a game, and baseball is a slow-moving sport. So I thought of all kinds of smart aleck remarks or things that I could put out there. But that was the other day, and also that was in the free space of my head, which you know, it is not up for being ridiculed by anyone other than me. So I can tell you I'm so glad to be back in Knoxville. And then, you know, I was here a few different times this summer, but not with the kind of vibe that's going on now where football is practicing, students are rolling back, our locker room is filling up. And it's such a fun time to be a young person when college is starting. But for anyone who lives anywhere close to this campus, it's a fun time as well. So glad to be back in town and cannot wait to see what all of our sports can do this particular year.
How big is the return of pitcher Camden Sewell?
I think it's massive because, you need somebody who can do a lot for you on the mound, which he's kind of become a Swiss Army knife. But leadership is something that's going to be talked about when we get to next February and the season's, you know, right on the doorstep there. Who's going to replace these guys that were leaders in the clubhouse or on the field, so on and so forth. And there'll be other candidates besides Cam, but I think Cam is going to be a huge force in our locker room for this is what I've learned since I've been here. This is the way it works. This is what's coming down the road. So I think we'll greatly benefit from him being around as much off the field as we will on the field.
And it has not been really a surprise at all, but I know not only do you point to 11 Tennessee Volunteers from this past season now playing pro ball, 10 were drafted. All that were drafted wound up signing. And you've already got seemingly half of those that have earned a promotion from rookie league to A-ball, and including Drew Gilbert, who we know threw himself literally head first into the wall and as he got banged up for Fayetteville with the Astros organization. But what's it been like to just see first pro home runs like Trey Lipscomb, Drew Gilbert, and other things going on with so many of the guys that were orange and white just a couple of months ago now wearing pro colors?
It's been awesome, but it all started with, I was so happy for those guys to go. Each year, you know, I'm trying to prepare, I hate saying this, but so I'm putting on makeup for the first time, I think since my sisters maybe got a hold of me when I was 3 years old and my dad wasn't around. And so you're getting ready for the draft and you're throwing on makeup. This was actually rehearsal day. And I get back-to-back calls from a couple of our older guys that are freaking out, you know, do I take this amount of money? What should I do? And the bottom line is I think everybody had an easy decision to make that was in our program. And many of the guys either got paid over slot or got paid maybe more than what the coaching staff was predicting going into the draft. So dollars aren't always going to make you happy, but it certainly helps. So starting from there, it's just been great to see. And we're starting to accumulate enough time here where we can say, since we've been here, this, or, you know, things like that. We've not had a guy, John, in our program turn down the draft or say no to an offer. And I think it's a true reflection upon, we want the best for these guys, and all these kids dream of playing in pro ball, and we try and help them as much as we can. But this year's group in particular really kind of created their own future, which involves the opportunities they're getting in pro ball, and not only the opportunity, but how they're taking advantage of it.
And it really is. I can't think of a time that it happened this way. I mean, we saw a couple of your players drafted by the same organization, but neither one really got into it back when Garrett Stallings went and Zach Lingenfelter went. But now you've got Courtland Lawson and Trey Lipscomb, left side for Tennessee, now left side for the Nationals rookie team league entry. And I just think that's so cool that you have teammates that are playing right now as teammates again in the same season.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're, you know, at the grocery store or at a movie or whatever, and there's a couple that maybe can't keep them their hands to themselves, and it kind of makes you want to gag a little bit. And of course, I say that in jest. That's what makes the thought I kind of had in my head when I saw those two guys go to the same team, because they're so close, and they've got so many little nicknames and nuances they've got to their friendship. So in reality, I kind of throw out bad jokes, but it's so awesome that those guys get to spend time around one another. And I don't care how confident of a player you are or how old you are in your career, you kind of want somebody with you that you can lean on when you go through a new experience. And I think you even see that with some guys who sign with a free agent pro team, even though they're successful and they might be in their 30s. You want somebody you can kind of lean on. And again, those guys are so close, it's semi-comical.
Tony, if all the players in the transfer portal that committed to you signed, because if they have, I can ask you about it, right?
Yes, they have.
Okay. So how strongly do you feel about the players that you got from Kansas, from Alabama, from Cincinnati, and I guess Walter State?
Well, yeah, I mean, first the verbiage, I was trying to make sure I was answering correctly. There's a little bit of pain to the word signed because we had some success in the transfer portal, and, of course, a few of those guys signed with a pro team. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are here that signed with us, you know, I believe they're all on campus. They're slowly getting moved in, and I think they're happy to be here, which is great to see. And our older guys, you can see them going out of their way to integrate those guys to our team. But I expect fully, especially those position players, you know, with Griffin Merritt and Maui Ahuna and Zane Denton, those guys have accumulated a lot of college at-bats. And call it COVID, the way college games going, fewer minor league teams. You have to have those type of experienced offensive players if you want to make a good run during the season. If you look at our team, we had the best regular season in the SEC. If you look at the SEC team that won the national championship, at the heart of what was the strength of their roster, I should say, was a bunch of experienced, hitters, along with a few other young superstars. But I think that's what we're getting out of some of those guys that'll be jumping on board here.
What does this say about your program that you could lose your eight starting position players and yet still be ranked preseason number one by at least one entity?
Yeah, I don't know how you're ranking. That's way in advance. I know some people use the way too early and then this, and it's fun to predict and discuss and things like that. I think what it points to is not so much, well, maybe a little bit of the program as you're alluding to, but the pitching. I mean, Coach Anderson always does a phenomenal job with the pitching staff. And now, again, since we've been here, I can say Coach Elander and Coach Jackson aid him in his efforts, and it just really makes for a powerful group. You throw in Q and Woody, and now we've been able to recruit some guys to the city of Knoxville. It's a good combination for our pitching staff. And any team that has strong pitching is going to be a team that can have success. So maybe people see that this far in advance. But I think the fall will tell us a lot about what we have and don't have. But I think it's pretty tough to, you already said it, to rank a team number one or even in the top 10 when you have to replace every single position on the field. It's probably a little bold. So we'll see what we got coming this fall when we get some guys out there in different positions.
Coming out of last summer, you mentioned that Courtland Lawson was perhaps the most impressive in terms of those that went out, had the opportunity just to work like a dog every day, get better. Is there anything that you've heard from, with Vols being dispersed coast to coast, is there anybody this year that has impressed you with the hard work that they've been able to put in? I know you haven't had a chance to get a look at them yourself, but just hearing what you've heard, who's had a great summer?
Well, yeah, I think with the Hayes-Larks theme that you pointed out, Courtland went out there and played all summer long in the Kansas heat, and Austin Jasloff did that this year. So the Hayes-Larks have become a fan of ours because that shortstop spot has been locked up. And while Austin hasn't gotten time on the field for us yet, he is a local player that loves the program and has worked really hard, and he had a good summer for those guys. But one of the connections we have to that program is about to come to fruition. Dylan Dreiling is related to the owner of that program, and Dylan will be a freshman on our campus. Fortunately, he turned down really good money in the Major League Draft and will be here competing for a spot in the outfield and might even pitch for us a little bit. So we'll continue on with that little Hayes-Larks theme. But to directly answer your question, probably the name that would stick out the most would be Hunter Inslee. And Hunter played for the Santa Barbara Foresters year in and year out, one of the best programs in summer collegiate baseball. And he was their leading hitter going all the way into the final postseason tournament. I'm not sure if he held on to that title or that claim, but I know throughout the summer he hit really, really well. And it's why he was recruited here. He's close friends with Blade Tidwell, and Blade only spent 2 years with us. Hunter, his first 2 years, riddled by a couple injuries and also a redshirt freshman status. But I think he's one of those guys that the time is now to shine, and it's kind of now or never as well. So looking forward to seeing him swing the bat for us this fall.
Not having a feel yet myself for exactly when you might draw a line, would there be the chance for any more additions to your program for this upcoming season? Or as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, there's now a dead period. Would there still be an opportunity for somebody to perhaps transfer in as long as school hasn't started?
Yeah, if there's someone out there that's listening and is maybe related to the Holiday family or Andrew Jones based off the draft, call me up. Yeah, call me up and we'll squeeze you in. Or you can call up to your show right now. But while we could make it happen, I think all the way into last week, there were some intense conversations. And it's a tough balance, to be honest with you guys, because we got a lot of interest this summer. and the portal is a real thing, where's that line between loyalty to the guys you brought in your program and giving them a fair chance to earn a spot? And where is the other side of the line where we now can argue that we're competing for an SEC title each year? And the fans deserve that, and we want to keep working towards that. So the conversations were intense all summer long. We had guys sign. We had guys say no. We had some guys say no, even though we wanted them, because they didn't think they could play for us, which 5 years ago, I can promise you that was not the case. So as we stand here today, I believe the summer drama is over with, and it's time to start up a new year with the guys returning to school. And you can probably bet your bottom dollar there's going to be some drama coming throughout the year, and I hope most of it is good.
Well, certainly that remains the wish. But thank you so much for the time. Always great to catch up, and we hope to do it again soon. Enjoy the dead period.
we'll do, for sure. I'll stay alive during it as best I can. But good to talk to you guys, as always.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.